Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways, brought to you by Carl's Golfland here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch. And, Kev, you know, as the weekend started for the U.S. Open, we look like we might have one of the greatest U.S. Opens of all time. It was still pretty damn good, but unfortunately, some of the big names just couldn't hack it on the weekend.
It was really exciting. Unbelievable shot making, and they had that golf course, I think, set up perfectly.
I agree.
It wasn't the massacre at Wingfoot in 74, and it wasn't 12 under at Erin Hills.
Right.
I think 5 or 6 under was a perfect score. I mean, we're talking about the difference in that tournament is a 40-foot bomb and a 6-footer that Scheffler misses at 14 and a 40-foot bomb that Fitzpatrick makes at 13, and we're going to a playoff.
Well, Zalatoris' putt on 18 looked so good for so long. Even Fitzpatrick said it, when he putted it, he goes, well, we're headed to a playoff. That's what he said in postgame.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It looked like it was in the entire way. It just, as it curled, it just stopped. And it was just, I mean, you could even see from TV, I mean, that you think it's in 6 inches from the hole.
Well, look at Zalatoris is what finished runner-up in all three of the majors this year. I was looking at some of the open early betting favorites, and Rory is by far and away the early betting favorite for the open. The only reason why I wouldn't like Zalatoris there is because I don't know what his real links experience is, but that guy has, you know, as big of a career already without a win.
The other thing to be concerned a little bit with Zalatoris is those greens over there at the Open are always slower.
Yeah.
And his putting stroke, it may not be conducive to slow greens. But we'll see. I mean, the guy is a ball-striking machine. Look at that leaderboard, and you could easily see a lot of those names are going to be on the top of that leaderboard at the Open.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I was kind of surprised Rahm faded like he did. You know, Rory did what Rory's been doing in the majors, you know, on the back nine, hitting some birdies and giving himself an opportunity, but not quite pulling it off. It was everything you want a U.S. Open to be. And then Matthew Fitzpatrick, we haven't even really mentioned his name yet, hits 16 fairways and 17 greens. He shouldn't have lost.
That's amazing. He should have lost his right. The shot he hit at 15 out of the rough and the putt he made, I mean, that was just artwork. Artwork when it comes to golf. And, you know, regarding Rory, he's there. The only issue is I can't remember a player who's had more unforced errors from perfect situations than him.
Yeah.
How many drives did he hit this weekend where he's in a perfect situation, has an unforced error, make bogey? He's got to clean that. If he can clean that up, he's going to win a few of these.
You know, he was tied for the low score or one off the low score for the first day. And everybody had problems on the golf course on Saturday. And he should have shot a million. But all of a sudden, he turned into Ben Crenshaw. I mean, he had what? He had 24 or 25 putts and shot 4 over. I mean,
I think he had 6 or 7 1 putts in a row.
Yeah. Oh, he would have been he would have been over par. I mean, well over par.
He might have shot 80.
I mean, a few people did. You know, 70. Well, the scoring average on Saturday was 78.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I love the golf course. It's really cool. It's a composite course, and some people will complain about that a little bit. But the composite course with that short little par 3, and a big shout out to the USGA for bringing back the popularity of short par 3s. And I wish every golf course designer, well, some of them do now, but there's a lot of course designers out there who still feel that everything's got to be, you know, par 72 and reach 7,000 yards. And you look at that little par 3 and, you know, you look at what Scottie Scheffler did on Saturday, you know, having a 2-shot lead, and he goes up there and tries to get a little greedy and goes long and makes double and sends him on a train wreck for the next 3 holes.
He did the same thing on Saturday. I mean, he was, what, leading by 2 going into the back nine on Saturday and shot, what did he shoot on the backside, like 39 or 40? Scheffler's got a learning curve. I mean, look, he's right now he's the number one player in the world for a reason, because he's got an incredible all-around game. He drives it good. He's a great iron player, and he's a pretty damn good putter. So we'll see what kind of factor he is over in Europe. You know, that's all going to be born out of the weather. I mean, St. Andrews, it better blow during St. Andrews and the Open, because they're going to shoot a million under if it doesn't.
You know, and I don't think people care. I think they're open to that. I think the last Open that was there, who won that last Open there?
Zach
South
Johnson.
African.
No. Zach Johnson, I was just looking it up. The last Open played at St. Andrews was won by Zach Johnson in that playoff. So, yeah, but the weather was a factor during the last Open at St. Andrews. But you're right, the one before that in 2010, Louis Oosthuizen, I think, was 21 under, something like
right.
that. And you might be right. I mean, it's the home of golf. There's nothing they can do to lengthen that golf course, so it is what it is. And they're never going to stop playing Open championships there. You know, maybe sooner or later they'll put a different ball in play for that particular tournament from now on. I don't know, but I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see this new generation, you know, all these young players. None of these guys have played there that I know of. Maybe they've gone on holiday or whatever. The Scottie Schefflers, the Will Zalatorises, these guys are, you know, going to get a really interesting look at links golf, and hopefully the weather cooperates and the winds are a real factor. And then that puts Rory out of the tournament too, because he can't play in heavy wind either.
Well, I haven't looked who the favorites are, but I got to believe it's Rory and Rahm right now.
No, it is. That's exactly right. Rory is +800, and Rahm's 1,000. Those are the two betting favorites.
Right.
Yeah, and Matthew Fitzpatrick isn't really listed at the height of that. You know, he's buried in the middle, outside of the top 10 betting favorites, which is kind of surprising. You know, given that he is, I think, a little bit more reliable of a wind player than Rory.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And he's bombing it now. Somebody asked him in the press conference about, you know, St. Andrews in the Open. He goes, yeah, I'm excited. He goes, I'm bombing it now.
Well, he is. You know, it's funny that he didn't really call out Bryson DeChambeau. But after the Open at Oakmont, where DeChambeau blasted his way to the title, called into question the course, you know, the course management of it, and then decided to increase his swing speed. And he's now added 22 yards to his average drive.
It's amazing. The kid's impressive.
Without protein shakes and body alignment.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm happy for Fitzpatrick. I'm happy for myself that I bet on him before the tournament. Oh, that paid off rather handsomely. Thank you, FanDuel. And it was,
nice.
You know, the funny thing is, Kevin, the talk right after the tournament was, you know, what an exciting Open. It's just what golf needed. And then, bang, we get hit with Koepka in answer heading over to LIV. And, you know, and Jay Monahan, you know, surrendering almost in a press conference a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was interesting. He kind of took, you know, right in the opening, he said, you know, we can't compete with money, but what we can give you is legacy and history. And right after that, he basically announced some new events, increased purses.
Yep.
Somehow they went quickly and they found money. Imagine that.
It's not $4 million per win. He said that was in the works, but they felt that they needed to announce it, move it up faster. You know, they're in an odd spot. They really are. It'll be very interesting to see how many more people are going to jump. I'm sure Koepka got the same kind of deal as Dustin Johnson did, if not a little bit more. And the next shoe to drop is who's going to start covering this tournament and get it on, you know, these LIV tournaments and get them on TV. You know.
Well,
you can be as modern as you want and have it on Facebook. That's not going to drive popularity of this tour. I'm sure somebody in TV is going to do it. It'll just be interested to see who.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be shocking for them to buy a you know, and I don't anticipate it being a network in the U.S. or a network in the U.K., but some kind of network that has all the equipment to broadcast something worldwide and then putting all the money into that that they have to.
Well, if they're doing this, they might as well do that. I'm surprised. It's right up Fox's alley since Rupert Murdoch, you know, he's a European anyways, and he built his newspaper empire on sensationalizing everything that ever happened in the UK. So I cannot believe that Fox hasn't stepped in here and taken this tour over, except for they were so bad at golf.
they were really bad at golf. That's a whole different discussion with political ramifications and the Fox News Network and all of that we don't need to get into right now. But that's an interesting dynamic.
And their first color guy was Greg Norman.
Right. Well, I'm surprised Greg Norman's not going to hire himself to be the color analyst.
That's coming, my man. That is definitely coming. When Kevin and I return here on Finding Fairways, we're going to talk about a local Michigan guy who shot 55. 55 was his score, Kevin. Did you hear this story?
No.
Okay, you're going to love it. We'll be back with more on Finding Fairways, brought to us by Carl's Golfland here on Up North Sports Radio. Time to check in with our good, good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone. Tim, I'm sure in some instances carlsgolfland.com is glad Father's Day is over because they can take a deep breath.
Yeah, well, it's always good to be busy, right, from where we sit. And Father's Day was awesome this year. We're happy to contribute to all those great Father's Day gifts the last couple weeks that were being dished out, for sure.
But then you follow it up with this huge flash sale that's starting up this weekend.
Yeah, if anybody's an email subscriber, you would have already seen that we have a flash sale going on. So I guess if you're not, it's a good time to sign up. All you have to do is hop over to our website and punch your email in, and you'll be notified as soon as these things start. But, yeah, we have a huge flash sale. It's literally all categories, Deary, from apparel, there's gloves, drivers, irons, bags, there's everything you can think of, in the golf realm kind of compiled into a flash sale that we have going on. I mean, you have, select size apparel, starting at $20 for shorts, polos, things like that, $50 FootJoy golf shoes. There's a ton of great stuff going on in the flash sale right now.
Yeah, it always surprises me, Tim, that as busy as golf is right now and how much demand there is, you still have great prices on so much stuff, the shoes, the apparel. You know, I know that equipment is always coming and going, but if you don't mind something that's 6 months just released, then you're going to get a great deal on equipment.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of great equipment out there, and all the manufacturers seem to churn out something great every year. And, anybody that's not new to Carl's, they know that we really do put our best foot forward in terms of pricing, with our shipping deals and returns. Everything that kind of, encompasses the Carl's experience, we try to emulate online. And that starts with pricing. And, we try to put our best foot forward. And if you're a price shopper looking around, we hope you don't look anywhere further, doors or our website.
The only website, the only place I buy golf gear, folks, honest to God, is carlsgolfland.com. Like, I ordered balls on Thursday, and I had them on Saturday. So you can't
beat it. It's a beautiful thing.
Can't beat it. Tim, we'll be on carlsgolfland.com. Checking out that flash sale.
Thanks, Jerry. Let us know if there's anything else we can do for you.
Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Fisher on the phone. And, Kevin, what is the lowest score you've ever shot?
66.
66. Mine is 76, but that is at the Atlantic Country Club in from the back tee. So I take that as a little bit of a better nod than just firing, you know, a crappy old 66 wherever you did it.
Well, I did a couple of them at Treetops on a couple of their courses. So
yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, no doubt about it. Same thing with mine. But this young golf pro from the Muskegon area shot a 55 last week.
Yes, he did. Andrew Witkowski, great kid. Know his dad, George. Super family. You know, he's a pro. He's got a lot of talent. I think he made it to the finals of the Michigan Am one year too.
Yes.
Made it pretty far in that. But did it at the course that I played high school golf at. We went to the same high school. And Oak Ridge, which, you know, it's about 6,000 yards, but you got to hit it straight, and you've got to make putts. And when you look at a card, you know, when you look at a card that goes 3-2, 3-3, 2-3, you know, 2, I mean, it's crazy. You've got to make putts. And he got on a roll, shot 25 on the front nine, which is crazy. And then, you know, came home in 30. And what a cool thing. What a cool thing. And Golf Digest picked it up. And
yep.
They're very, very excited for him. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even – that's like breaking the sound barrier. You know, that's just 55. I don't know what the – I'm sure other people have done it. You know, I think I've told you this a number of times. That would be the first question I'd ever ask Tiger Woods is how many times – has he broken 60 just playing? You know,
right. That is a good question. I do seem to remember a couple of years ago, I thought somebody shot something in that area, maybe 56 or 57 or something. I can't remember the entire story, but I've heard it's been done before. But 25 on the front nine. I mean, that includes, you know, two twos on two par fours.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you mentioned it's a shorter course, so I'm sure. I mean, we play Gaylord Golf Club all the time. The league, you play from the white tees, and a number of those par fours are drivable, you know, to anybody who can hit it 300 yards. And so there's an opportunity to make eagles on a lot of golf courses, but like you said, you got to make putts. And
right.
What is it? Annika shot 58 or 57, right? I'm trying to remember.
59.
You know, Kevin, before you got into the PR game, you were an assistant pro at Treetops, and I've seen you shoot. What did you shoot in the Gold Coast that one time? Didn't you shoot a 67?
No, it was one of my 66s on the Fazio course,
okay.
And I was actually 8 under. I was actually 8 under through 16. And I easily could have been 10 under through 16.
Right.
And if, you know, so you get in those zones like that. And I mean, I think the longest birdie putt I had that day was like 12 feet. And it was just one of those things until I got to 17 and the wheels fell off.
Well, there was alcohol involved, folks. I'll tell you that. So.
I'm not going to deny that.
You can't. I was there. Now, trust me, there was a lot more alcohol involved after the round. But
it was one of those where you get in that zone of you just feel like you can't miss a shot, and the hole looks like a big, huge bucket, and you can't miss a putt.
You know, that is probably the most amazing thing about golf. And, you know, you have a very good swing, much better swing than I do, and played a lot more golf than I do. For the game to be that easy and then 2 days later be four times harder is probably what we love and hate about the game at the same time.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, as well as I played that day, I was never a player to the level of what, you know, Andrew Witkowski is and other pros at that level, matter of fact. You know, they get into these zones and compartmentalize everything and, you know, the whole one take one shot at a time. Well, that's a big thing with professional golf in getting into that mode. And then you go into a zone like that and, you know, 55, I mean, you just start making putts and hitting shots and you just, you're in a zone and you just ride the wave as long as you can.
The people have been talking about Scottie Scheffler's year, and a lot of pros get in a hot zone. You know, we saw it with Jordan Spieth 5 or 6 years. You know, Rory went through that phase, and then Spieth and Koepka. But it never seems to last too long, does it, unless you're Tiger Woods?
No, you're right. It just goes to show how difficult the game is and how many great players there are. I mean, yeah, really, nobody has sustained it like Tiger Woods, and nobody probably ever will, at least in our generation maybe, but, you know, he was on a different planet. But it is really hard to sustain that kind of play over a long period of time. And, you know, we're going to see Scheffler's got the talent to do it, but there's so many great players behind him. You know, just because one might move up to one and the other one might move down to four, it just shows how many great players are on the PGA Tour right now.
Well, this leads me to the next question is, you know, Norman, as part of this LIV, is appealing to the World Golf Association for LIV golf points because it's going to mess everything up if these guys don't get credit for the scores and or victories they have on the LIV Tour. And that will lead to some of these guys not being able to qualify for the U.S. Open or any of the other majors.
Well, that's the next shoe to drop. And if LIV wants to be serious down the road, right now they're getting players right now that, you know, they're kind of on the tail end of a career or they've been battling injuries, you know, and I think to get anybody like a Scheffler or a you know, a Zalatoris or a Morikawa or whatever, who denied it this week, by the way, and, you know, world golf ranking points are critical. And the majors, you know, the USGA came out and said what they were going to do right now is nothing. The RNA just came out and basically said they're not going to do nothing because they know that playing a 54, they can't. They're playing a 54 hole event will never, these guys will start falling down the world rankings quick. And whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now, some of these guys that are not exempt, they're going to fall off the rankings and then they won't qualify to get into the Open or they'll have to go do local qualifying to get into the U.S. Open.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously DJ will be qualified for the next 5 to 10 years, depending on what event you are. Phil does that as well, but and Koepka. So the real big names, those guys don't have to worry about it for a while, but yeah, everybody else, the Abraham Answers of the world that have joined this tour, James Pyatt, which I don't blame James for doing. It had taken him a long time to make $6 million on the Korn Ferry Tour. So
yeah, I believe he got right around three. And for him, you know, he can play in these events, and it takes a lot of pressure off him as far as having to get sponsors, having to get people to back him.
Right.
You know, and in 3 years or 2 or 3 years, he can try to go, you know, to the Korn Ferry Tour, depending on what, you know, if they try to hold him back from that. Who knows in 3 years, the legal aspect of this might have come through already, and who knows what's going to happen then. So for somebody like him, I get it. But, you know, look at Taylor Gooch.
Yeah.
You know, here's a young guy that's very promising. This guy could win some majors. He's that good. He's got that kind of talent. And he basically is, you know, taken it and walked away. So it's going to be interesting where the World Golf Ranking Point Committee, whoever that might be, what they decide on and Liv having to go. I don't think they'll ever give it to them if they're playing 54 hole events and they're doing shotgun starts. So they're going to have to change that format if they ever want to get World Golf Ranking points, I believe.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, Kevin and I will discuss where he was this week with some young ladies playing golf in the Upper Peninsula and a few other things in the golf world, all here next on Up North Sports Radio's Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with Dave Douglas, who is the director of golf at the Island Resort and Casino. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You had a very busy couple of days there on the Sweetgrass course.
Yes, we just started kicking off our pro-ams for the Ebsen Tour, which is the road to the LPGA. It's the girls trying to get to that high level, the LPGA status, and this has been our 11th year with the tour here.
And how much growth have you seen in that from the first couple of events to now? I know there's a lot more gals trying to get their LPGA card.
Yes, yeah. The level play is just incredible. I mean, these girls' scoring average from the LPGA to the Ebsen Tour is only one stroke different. So
wow.
Usually the big difference, short game. You know, the girls who have a really good short game usually make it to that next level, but they all hit the ball really good. It's amazing to watch.
No, there's no doubt. You know, the gals at the highest level now hit it so far. I mean, you got gals hitting it 290 all over the place. It's scary.
Right. Yeah, they are good. And, you know, to watch them swing, they're just so smooth, and they got really good swings, and the ball just, It goes out there.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's pretty much a family event. A lot of the caddies are boyfriends or fathers and parents following their kids around. It's got to be a pretty cool sight.
It is, yeah. You even see some mothers out there, you know, caddying for their daughters and either carrying, a lot of them use a push cart. But, yeah, it is, like you say, it's a lot of family out there watching. And we've got a lot of support from the local community, too. We do get pretty good crowds out there.
On average, how many people do you think you got on the golf course during the tournament?
Well, tournament days, Sunday especially, there's probably, I would say, in some busy years that we've had, we probably have 1,000, 2,000 people out there on a Sunday. You know, most of them around our 9th and 18th green. We have bleachers set up, you know, probably 4 or 5 bleachers, and our VIP lounge is set up there. So it get pretty good crowd.
And it's got to be great for the hotel. Do you know how many gals are entered into the tournament this year?
Yeah, so we 156 is the first two rounds, 156. So they'll play Friday and Saturday. And then they'll cut to the low 70 in ties for Sunday's round.
Sure.
So, you know, they come from, it's over 30 countries representatives, so there's girls from all over the world here.
Yeah. I mean, it is a worldwide tour, that's for sure. As you referenced earlier, the level of play is so fantastic that you're not really taking a back seat to the kind of action that you would see, like you saw in Grand Rapids last week at the Meyer event.
Right, right. They're not far behind, and there's been several players here that played years past that are on the LPGA. I mean, we've had Brooke Henderson playing here. There's several.
Kim
Kaufman is
PGA
Tour. Sophia Popov, she's won a major, and it's just kind of neat to follow these girls as they, you know, try to pave their career to get to that LPGA level.
When the tournament's over on Sunday, is the public back out on the golf course the next day? Or is Sweetgrass closed down for a couple of days?
No, we open up Monday, and our superintendent will leave the tournament tees and pin placements the same as the girls played on Sunday for just that one day, just for people to see, you know, see how how the course up for them.
They get the green speeds up quicker. They turn it tournament ready.
Yeah, the tour dictates a lot of that. You know, they'll tell our superintendent, you know, how quick they want them. They do all the pin placements and tee placement. And so once the tournament starts on Friday, the tour pretty much takes over everything. You know, they'll let our superintendent know what to do, where and what to do.
And what length will the gals play it at?
It's probably roughly right around 6,300 yards.
Okay.
You know, they'll weather, you know, the wind and, you know, adjust a little bit, but it's right around 6,300 yards they'll play at.
So tell our audience a little bit about Sweetgrass if they haven't played it yet. It's a beautiful piece of property. You got two great golf courses at the Island Resort and Casino.
Right. Yeah. Sweetgrass has that Lynx appearance, but not really a true Lynx, but it's very generous fairways, framed in with the fescue grasses, so it really has that Lynx look. doesn't have the pot bunkering like a Lynx course would, you know, just the normal bunkering. Very beautiful course. It's just kind of out in the open. And then our other course, Sage Run, is total opposite. It's a lot of elevation change, the fairways are carved out of the trees, and real natural, rugged look to it. And both courses are in exceptional condition.
Yeah, it's a, just a beautiful place up there. Kevin has been urging me to get up there, and I'm like, I got to find the time. You know, it's a little bit of a drive, but well worth it.
It really is. We got great package, stay and play package rates, and partnership with Timberstone and Gray Walls. So all four courses in our golf package are top 20 in Michigan and very affordable.
Yeah, why don't you give us an example, a weekend package to play both of your courses, and then maybe figure in Gray Walls, one of the truly great golf courses in the Midwest.
Right, they're top 100 in the country. So just an example, you can play all four of those courses that I mentioned, stay three nights here at the casino, or in the fall, it's $350 a person, and in the summer, it's just $445. So it's not, you know, it's not outrageous. It's hard to find a hotel room for those prices. So it's a really good, affordable trip.
No, there's no doubt about it. That is a fantastic deal, given what's going on, you know, in my neck of the woods as we're broadcasting here from Grayling. You can't get on Boeing for that kind of price or treetops. You're talking an extra $300, $400 for that kind of golf experience.
Yeah, it's very affordable. You know, that's kind of what we started out. You know, we know we're in a remote area, so we try to keep it affordable to get people to make the drive up here, and it's really taken off. I mean, this year we've been very busy, and most of our play does come out of Wisconsin. We're only, you know, hour and 45 minutes from Green Bay, 3.5 from Milwaukee, and only 4.5 hours from Chicago. So that's most of our golf comes from that area.
Yeah, you're talking about when you flip it around to Detroit, it's more like a 9-hour drive. So
I think we realize that too. You know, the people in Detroit to drive another 3-4 hours past your Gaylord and Traverse City and Petoskey area, that it's hard to get those people to drive all the way up here, but once they're here, they see how well worth it was.
Yeah, that's why I got a head start on them, so that's why I got to do it. On that cusp season, late August, early September, I'm going to come up this and play both of these courses, because I've been thinking about it for a while. And, you know, one last question I want to ask you, Dave. Talk about, you know, I know the hotel rooms are beautiful. You've got a casino there, so it's nice to play golf and then maybe do some gambling. Talk about the dining options at Island Resort a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They have here at the resort, probably about 4 or 5 different restaurant options, right from, you know, cafeteria style, just sandwiches and you know, soups and salads to high-end steakhouse. They just put a new steakhouse in. We added a tower here that opened up in January. And on the top floor, which overlooks Sweetgrass Golf Course, is Horizon Steakhouse. It's really, really good food.
Well, that seals the deal for me, because nothing says golf like a big steak and a martini after a good round of golf.
It is, and it is good. It's the great views from up there, and they got a nice bar area, and they really good steaks.
Dave, what's the website for people to get more information and book some tee times and some trips?
Yeah, go on to www.islandresortgolf.com.
All right.
Give you all the numbers, stay and play package rates, info on all the courses, and it'll give you all the information you need.
Well, that's great news, Dave. Thanks for taking the time out of a busy day with your gals from the Epson Tour on the property, and we'll see you up there later on this year.
You bet. Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. And Kevin, we just had that segment with Dave Douglas from the Island Resort and Casino. You were up there for the Pro-Am, and as Dave pointed out in his segment, these girls are pretty damn good players.
They are. This is the fifth time that I've played in the Pro-Am. Island Resort and Casino, which is up in Harris, Michigan, which is just west of Escanaba, in beautiful God's country up there in the UP. It is beautiful up there, and what a beautiful week we had for the Pro-Am. But you know, these girls, you know, this is the road to the LPGA. And, you know, the 156 player field, and, they cut down to the low 60 in ties, and they can all play. And, you know, I had the pleasure of playing with a young lady, by the name of Amelia Garvey, and she's from New Zealand, and she is a rookie this year, and she's from USC,
uh-huh.
And she's an All-American, and she is the best player that I have played with in this Pro-Am since, and look for her name because she is going to be on the LPGA. Her ball striking was as pure as I have ever seen at that level for a young lady. It was impressive.
Girls are getting so good at this game. How was she driving it is the same distance as you?
No, she was driving it 25 yards farther than me.
Wow.
And she is, you know, she is just a little girl, you know, size-wise. She's small in stature, but she can, you know, the way she turns, and the way she just hits into the ball, I don't think she missed the center of the club face all day.
Wow.
The two most impressive shots that I witnessed from her were, if you've played Sweetgrass, which is a tremendous golf course, and
yes,
it was
I am going this year.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Well, the ninth and 18th holes are both par fives that go along a large pond. And you have to carry your second shot over the pond. They're not reachable holes by any means. But from 230 out, I watched her hit 2-3 woods on both of those holes right in the center of the face and fly them on the green and hold them.
Wow.
Yes. She is a great player, great up and coming player. And that's what you see on this tour is so many great up and coming players that you're going to see down the road on the LPGA. And, you know, they play 20 in one event. I think she's in the top 20 right now. She's got to get in the top 10. You have to the top 10 get their tour cards.
Right.
And then
right.
11 through 30, they get exempt all the way to the final stage of the qualifying school
yeah.
for the LPGA,
right.
which is huge for them. So just to be in the top 30 is good. But there's a lot of great players out there. It's always a great event. They do so much for the local community. They embrace them coming in, and it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be part of it every year.
Yeah, the you know, the LPGA tour is a different tour than the PGA, but they announced a lot more money going into these purses in the LPGA, and that was good to see. That's just going to make better play, more compelling tournaments on television, which is I think where women's golf is headed.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship went from, I believe, $4 million to $9 million this year, total purse, which
yeah.
is huge. And the growth of, you know, women's golf in America, the number of young ladies playing this game right now, you know, right from the youth stages, you know, one of the large youth programs, PGA Premier Sports, they've got a large program in Detroit, and Dave Robinson mentioned a week or two ago that for the first time ever, he has a camp that has more girls than boys in it. I think that kind of trend is what you're going to see a lot now going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Charles, who's the director of golf instruction at Boyne, said, you know, since he's been there, the makeup of his students has gone from about 27% female to almost 50% female.
Yes.
Which is good.
It's great. It's great. It's great to see. And, you know, great LPGA players coming up, you know, Americans, you know, the Korda sisters, who are just tremendous players. And obviously Nellie Korda, number one, I believe still, she's number one in the world. And then, Kupcho, who won, I believe she won at the Meyer Classic.
Yep.
This past weekend.
it's really cool to see. And this has been coming for a few years. You know, I think Michael Wan, who now the USGA executive director, he built a lot up during his tenure at the LPGA to kind of get it on that road, and it just continues to flourish. It's pretty cool.
No, it really is. I couldn't agree more. You know, we saw the influx of Asian women dominating the tour, but we're seeing a lot of American gals get back into the game. And when I talked to Dave, you had 30 different countries represented on that Epson Tour. It is truly an international game.
It's really amazing. And talking to Amelia about that, being from New Zealand, and she has herself based out in Los Angeles, and how, you know, they travel to the Midwest. You know, I think they go from here down to Battle Creek to play in the Firekeepers. And then from there, I think they might have a week off, and then they go to New York. And getting so much local support from each of these allows these girls to have these opportunities.
One last thing about LIV. Somebody asked me, like, earlier today, so why is this a big deal? You know, why would the PGA Tour, who's allowed guys to come from the European Tour, which is now called the DP Tour, and all these other tours, why is LIV a problem? I told them, here's as simply as I could put it. Look at the lineup now for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Dan Gilbert can't be super happy if the best player that plays in his tournament is Will Zalatoris. Now, Zalatoris has had a really good year. There's no DJ, there's no Koepka, there's no Phil Mickelson. And the value to the sponsors is what's going to kill the PGA Tour when they look at their investment.
That's what they're trying to protect. You know, it's no secret that, you know, and people have brought this all up already about it. It's no secret that, you know, the PGA Tour does grant exemptions or allow PGA Tour players to go play in some of these international events. And they have released players to allow them to go play in some of those Saudi-backed events, you know, over there, over the years. But those are one-time events. You know, I think each player is allowed 4 of those each year to go play that you get releases on. After that, you don't get releases on, and that's where the whole turmoil is coming in here. If these players are just, the way it's set up, they're just free to go, it will affect the sponsorship. It will affect TV ratings. It will affect TV deals. It affects everything down the line.
Well, plus
and that's
the
what
fact
trying
it's
to
only
have
8 events this year, but it goes, it's 8 events next year, then it goes to 10, and then it goes to 12. So, I mean, the LIV Tour is not going away, but as Kevin and I pointed out, it's all going to bank on how many changes they're going to have to make, and world golf rating points are definitely going to be an issue. This story does not go away. I know some people are sick of it already, but here on Finding Fairways, we think it's important to, I mean, you got to address it. It's an elephant in the room. But, Kevin, thanks for joining me, and I will see you out on the fairways. As we like to say here on Finding Fairways, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be with you next week.
Sounds good, Jerry. Thank you.
It's time to check in with our good friends at BoeingGolf.com. Ken Griffin's on the phone with me. And, Ken, just a spectacular week of weather again. Boeing Golf is the spot to be.
Yeah, it's been a great week to be out on our courses. And, you know, the next couple of weeks leading up to the 4th look even better.
Yes, the weather forecast is fantastic. And I'm sure your tee sheets are filling up, but you probably still have some spots with 10 great courses.
Well, that's it. With 10 courses, we do. And, you know, the excitement, you know, last weekend we had a great U.S. Open. The excitement may be over, but your listeners still have a few days to take advantage of our offer. It's 10% off our Stay and Play and Unlimited Golf packages in July and August, but they have to book by the 29th.
Yeah, on top of that, you've got the tee time special that's still available. When can they book that to the up to 15% off on Sunday through Thursday?
Yeah, on 5 courses between 11 and 4 o'clock. And we've actually, those 5 courses include the Heather, one of the great classic courses in Northern Michigan. Those are all good through July 7th and including Monday on the 4th.
You know, it's a great time to play golf. 4th of July weekend sometimes is funny. You can find a lot of open spots or the courses fill up. So best to get ahead of the curve and book them now.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, and if somebody's been out a few times and is still not feeling just right, hey, don't forget, a lesson with the Boeing Golf Academy can go a long way toward making you enjoy every round a little bit more.
Joe Charles and the staff out there will make your game better. So it's all available when you head to BoeingGolf.com.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Ken.